Hello and welcome. Today we're talking to longtime runner Richard Sarkis about how he's going about training for the upcoming Sydney Marathon. I'm Kirsten Todd, your coach here at Hooked on Running and longtime wife of Richard. Hi, Rich.
Hi.
Firstly, how long have you been running for and can you give us some career highlights, both as a coach and as a runner? Just a brief rundown.
Well, I first started running when I did City to Surf for the first time in 1981 when I was 16. So do the sums, I'm early 50s at the moment. And I guess a few career highlights would have to be City to Surf PB coming I think around 65th, breaking 34 for 10K on the track, where around 33:50, which was a real highlight. And completing the Foster Ironman triathlon, which of course has the marathon running component to it, just tacked on the end. Just off the top of my head, there's a few more there, but there are a few that spring to mind.
And what about some highlights as a coach?
Oh, as a coach, I guess it's just that regular satisfaction from taking kids from sort of beginner level through to various levels of cross country and athletics. My kids achieving certain levels of representation, and a couple of my athletes who've actually reached national cross country level would be the main highlight.
And one of those runners you've been coaching for a long time, haven't you? Since he was 9?
Around year 5, so yeah, 10 or 11, that's right. Liam O'Brien. And we've been going for quite a few years now. And he actually just made his first state 3,000 metres yesterday and ran a PB, which was fantastic.
Oh, that was a thrill.
Yeah, and that was backing up after coming 45th at the National Cross Country just last week as well.
Uh-huh. Now, you mentioned your City to Surf PB. What actually is that PB? I should know, I suppose.
48 minutes and 12 seconds, to be precise.
Oh, so why didn't you just run faster at the end to get under 48 minutes?
I was, didn't you notice? I was sprinting, believe it or not.
Okay, so how many marathons have you run? Can you tell me about those?
I've run 3, and they're quite a mixed bag. The very first one was, I actually didn't plan on running a whole marathon, but I was just sort of tagging along with a mate that started in the suburb I lived in, and before I knew it, I was sort of at 25K and thought, oh, what the heck, I'll keep going. That was the old Wang Australian Marathon, which is actually what the Sydney Marathon has become. We actually ran over the Harbour Bridge, but on the cycleway, out to La Perouse and back to Sydney Athletic Field in Moore Park, and managed to do about a 3:05, having not run more than 20Ks in my life. I was quite surprised. That was at a sort of a 21, 22-year-old. The second marathon was as part of the Ironman triathlon that I mentioned that I did at Foster in 1990. And the third one was London in 2002, which, again, I was quite lucky to get into, and it was sort of, you tacked it on as part of a holiday and just scraped under the 3-hour mark with an awful second half. There's a real story to that.
How did you manage to get an entry into London?
Oh, a friend of a friend actually knew someone who had a double entry, that they won an entry through winning the Sydney Marathon, in fact, and they'd already entered London, so they effectively had 2 entries, so I was quite lucky to get in.
So you ran under his name, so he did a PW and I believe a PR in the same race.
Yeah, but don't tell anyone that.
No.
Get it between you and I. So officially, I haven't run the London Marathon.
But what sort of training and racing have you been doing since that last marathon you did in London?
I focused more on 5 and 10K and the odd sort of city to surf as well. I haven't done the city to surf every year, but yeah, just in that 5 to 10 sort of range, which I sort of preferred. I've never really been a big sort of marathon runner. I haven't sort of been drawn into that, where some people just get drawn in and just keep doing them over and over again. So that's been my focus. And the last few years has been more even sort of 5K events, park runs and Sri Chinmoy sort of 4K and 7K events. I guess to make sure my body holds together as I get on, you know.
And so have you had to overcome many injuries in your running career? No, since I've known you, you have really not had many injuries. You had an Achilles tendinopathy. What else have you had in that last 20-odd years since we've known each other?
Not a great deal, actually, fortunately. I've been able to manage my body well, and that's a lot to do with doing the regular strength exercises for all the leg muscles. But the Achilles tendinopathy is the bad one that I've had in the last 20 years, and that took a good 2 years to overcome, and tried all sorts of things, but the thing that really fixed it was strengthening the tendon back up.
So did you have many injuries prior to that?
Oh yeah, prior to that I've had pretty much all your typical running injuries, plantar fasciitis, shin splints, retropatellar pain, ITV issues, and again, just overcame them through strengthening up the appropriate muscles, basically, and keeping loose through regular flexibility. But I was biased for strengthening exercises that fixes these things up.
And so you've pretty much avoided any injuries, though, as I say, in the last 20-odd years, pretty much, by being strong and flexible, you feel?
Yeah, definitely, and being careful not to overdo my training and racing. So I've tended to be a low-volume sort of runner. I've never run much more than about 70 to 80 kilometres a week at my peak. And I think that's helped hold me together.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you are, as you said, firmly in the Masters category now. What sort of things do you think you need to take into account as you get older? Obviously, as you said, you know, not doing too much. But is there any other tips for we oldies?
Yeah, sure. I think it's just doing all those little things regularly as well. I mentioned the strengthening and the flexibility. But even I found getting in my cold outdoor pool after sessions, I think, has been helping with recovery, and plenty of sleep. I think I actually regard sleep as the number one recovery method. So plenty of sleep and trying to reduce the stress as much as possible.
So what made you decide to do this Sydney Marathon?
Well, it was actually sparked by doing a little fundraiser last year with the kids that I coach. One of them developed diabetes, and we just did a little fundraising event and raised almost $800 for him. And I got a bit of a kick out of it and decided to do another little event in March this year for the Indigenous Marathon Foundation. We raised just over $2,000. And I figured I wouldn't mind doing some more for the Indigenous Marathon Foundation, and thought, oh, well, I might as well run a marathon. I've got an online campaign going for that at the moment, which is at about $6,800 at the moment, which is fantastic. And I decided to do a local marathon just because I haven't done one for so long. I thought I'll do it local. If anything goes wrong with injury, illness, then I haven't paid airfares, accommodation, and that sort of stuff. So that was the reason, particularly for Sydney.
So you actually announced to the family in January that you were going to run the marathon. Why January when the event's not till September?
Look, I felt I wanted a good long preparation. I hadn't done a lot of really long runs for a while. And I just wanted to make sure I was fully prepared and I planned out a strategy to cover sort of from January through to now, of course, with a particular emphasis on that long run, which I was doing every Sunday.
What was the, how long was your long run up to, say, in January this year?
Around 20Ks.
Okay, right. And so you've built that up to how long now?
I hit 36 a couple of times, and so yeah, I just gradually built it up, and I would I got it to 25 and sort of 30, and but I was alternating sort of every 2 to 3 weeks. I'd sort of jump it up to sort of 25, 30, and then drop it back to 20, 25, and I sort of built it a bit up a little bit like that. So and then sort of got to around that 35, 36, dropped it back to 27, 28 the following week or two, and then back up to sort of 33, 34. So I followed that sort of scenario over the last few months.
Mm-hmm. And are you doing any, when in your long runs, are you doing any different paces within that long run? It's all just slow, steady.
Yeah, look, up to about June, it was all pretty slow, steady, and then from then I started to inject a little bit of different pacing in the long run and some of my other runs, my shorter to medium runs. So I practiced a lot of what I felt was going to be the pace I would do for the whole marathon for different lengths, anything from 500 metres to maybe 2 or 3 Ks. But I also started injecting some even faster efforts that I felt was sort of going to prepare me for that last 5 to 10K. So even though I wouldn't be running that as fast as I was doing those efforts in, it would just get my body used to working that much harder.
Mileage, do you sort of keep track of your weekly mileage? Do you know what that's sort of gotten up to?
Oh, look, I've got a rough idea. I didn't want to ever get caught up too much in mileage. A lot of people would ask me sort of how many Ks I've been doing, and I really wasn't something at the forefront, but it was, to be honest, it was anything from 60 to 80 Ks, and so that depending on how long my long run was. So after doing a 35 with 3 to 4 other runs, it probably added up to 70 to 80 at the very most. But the real emphasis was on that Sunday long run and also the Wednesday run, about a medium sort of run of about 15 to 17 Ks. Where I'd inject some slightly faster stuff in there, as I said before.
And what about any cross training?
Oh yeah, I've been swimming twice a week regularly, which I've been doing for many years now. And so I'd swim for sort of half an hour to an hour, so twice a week, and I've found that's good for just improving general fitness, and I feel it's good for my breathing as well. And just some general upper body strength as well. So I think that's very beneficial.
No doubt. Fully kitted out in a wetsuit?
Just a half wetsuit vest. I've lost a couple of kilos since all the training's really built up, and I really feel the cold. They say the water's 27, 28 degrees, but I never believe it.
You're really not doing a huge volume of training and training 4 or 5 times a week, and you're running 4 or 5 times a week. And it's interesting you say, you know, you didn't want to get caught up in that mileage thing, because it's so specific to each individual person. You know, someone might be able to cope with 150K a week. Someone else could only cope with, say, 80K a week. I mean, for you to sort of pick up maybe over that 80K mark might be then when sort of injury starts to set in, and it's really counterproductive.
Yeah, I've always found about 80 is about my limit. I always found I just didn't quite benefit from the training, even though I might not have been getting injured particularly. I somehow just didn't feel I was benefiting from it. And I remember back when I was actually training for 800 metres at one point, and I actually was only running about 3 times a week, and I think back and I was only doing about 20 kilometres a week of running, and I got down to 2 minutes dead for an 800. And just thinking about things like that, I realise I just benefit from a lot less volume and more intensity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and obviously the strength and flexibility training as well that you've been doing.
Absolutely, all that with swimming as well is a nice balanced program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What sort of stuff do you think? I asked this of a man whose son wrote on his Father's Day card when he was in preschool. I think they had a question, you know, what sort of games does Daddy like to play with you? What does Daddy like to eat? And Wilson wrote, porridge and flaxseed oil. So I'm looking forward to this answer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the old flaxseed oil. Yeah, well, we sort of seem to ditch that. And I haven't done porridge much lately. For one reason or another, I tend to eat just the raw muesli. Basically, I take my breakfast to work and have it sort of mid-morning after my first few sessions. So I'm big on the muesli. I just make up my own just with raw oats, some seeds and some nuts, basically, with some normal milk. I love my bread. I don't, bread doesn't bother me with any issues. So, love sandwiches with salad and cheese and avo and tuna and chicken and those sorts of things. Fruit, have two or three pieces a day. And of course, your lovely cooking provides a great balance of veggies and meat and rice and pasta and all that sort of stuff. And I throw in the odd piece of chocolate and ice cream every now and then.
And the odd risotto with kidney beans in it.
Yeah, love the kidney beans. Yeah,
one of the family's favourites. Your risotto is, Richard.
Oh yeah, they love my risotto, especially when I throw the kidney beans in there.
Yeah. And what sort of nutrition have you been using during training?
As in while I've been running?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Sydney Marathon is supplying goo gels, so in the little packs. So I've been practicing on those, and they've been going well. I contacted a few mates who've run lots of marathons, and they swear by them. Up until when they started using them, they always used to hit the wall at about 35, 37K. And they said that since using the gels, they haven't hit the wall and they've been able to run strongly over those last sort of 5Ks. So, you carrying the gel with me in my little running belt, and I have my bottle of water with the goo tablets in there, which is an electrolyte, which they're also supplying at the Sydney Marathon, so I'm used to that. Post-running, I would take sort of half the fridge along with me, and just especially after the big 30-35K runs, and just have a whole heap of food, and from cheese sandwiches to banana bread to even some muesli I might have taken down. But of course, your little trick of milk with some caramel flavouring thrown in there, which you got me onto as the initial food intakes pretty much straight after the run to replace all that glycogen.
And it's skim milk that you are using, of course, isn't it?
Oh, of course, skim milk. That's right, to allow quicker absorption.
That's right. What are you going to eat on the morning of the race, and what time are you going to get up?
Yeah, so the race starts at 7:05. I'm going to get up from just a little after 5, I'd say, to leave sort of around 5:30-ish, a bit after, to get there at about 6. Look, I'm most likely going to have just a little piece of bread, which I'm quite used to for my runs. Quite often I'll just have a plain piece of bread. I'll have one goo, which is about 100 calories of energy. And I'll probably have just a half an espresso, which I'm used to before my runs. I don't want to drink too much coffee because it is a bit of a diuretic and might just upset my tummy a little bit. I might just have a little half a banana as well, but I find if I could take in too much food, I think it can upset my tummy a little bit. I'm a little prone to that, so I'm just going to be a little bit careful with pre-race intake.
Any idea of how many goos or how many, is it, I think you're using goo, and how many gels you're going to be taking on board during the race?
Well, look, they recommend about one every 45 minutes. So in the time span that I hope to be running, sort of in that 3 hour zone, somewhere between 3 and 4 hour zone, I mean, you're looking at sort of round 4 roughly, but I'll be carrying 6 with me, and they'll be available on the course as well. So if I need any more, they'll be there. So that I'll carry 6 just as a safety net.
I think we need to have a little chat. I don't think 4 will be enough. So I'm glad you're taking
it. Oh, okay.
All right.
Well,
sorry, go on.
As I say, they'll be on the course as well if I need any. And they're supplying these liquid gels as well, which I've just got a few in the mail to try. So they basically have a lot more liquid in them. You don't tend to have to take in a lot of water with them.
So pretty much with respect. To your nutrition, you are experimenting with everything they're going to have on course. So in case you get caught short and you need to use something that is provided by the race, you're not using anything that you're not familiar with.
Absolutely, yeah.
So and you're not. Sorry, go on.
I've been doing that for quite a while. Actually, I think I started experimenting back in maybe March, April. Hmm.
And you're not actually relying on the race to supply it, though, because that you need to be pretty well self-contained when you're doing a race and not rely too much on what's on the course.
That's right, yeah.
And you mentioned that your tummy gets a little bit upset sometimes, and I'm not quite sure what form that takes. However, how do you make sure that you're not going to go to the toilet when you're running?
Yeah, good question.
Without being too graphic?
Yeah. Well, look, in my previous marathons, I don't recall being an issue, and your body just naturally shuts that part of the body down, particularly the number twos. Not sure about number ones, but, you know, that could be done on the run, I reckon. Look, just, you know, I've planned in races before. I've just made sure I'm completely empty in the number two department, and look, I have to just deal with it on the day if need be.
What sort of venues do you use to train? Are you, a footpath warrior, or are you trying to get onto some other kind of surfaces?
Yeah, look, I've spent the majority, especially initially, as I was building up on soft surfaces. I'm very big on soft surfaces. So bush trails and grass are my main venues or surfaces to run on. I have added on sections of hard surface here and there. So I'll just, generally where I am, there's path sections next to the soft surface. So I can just throw in a kilometre or two on the hard, back on the soft. And just so I'm a little bit used to the hard surface. But I think you've got to be careful running too much on the hard surface. As far as recovery goes, but fingers crossed I've done enough on the hard surface to be used to it enough for the whole 42Ks.
Do you use a GPS watch in your training?
I do now. I'm a convert. I got hold of one just a few months ago. I was always old school. Just had a stopwatch, which just had the split timer, which is what I'm big on, just to like, in those splits. And the venues I train at, I've actually marked out some sections, so I actually know exactly how far certain sections are. So I had a good idea of how fast I was running anyway. But I'm actually glad I've got onto the GPS, because it's just another backup to see how my pace is at an instant, which is great, so you don't have to wait for the split. I could adjust my pace accordingly depending on what I was aiming at. So, yes, I'm a Garmin Forerunner 220 man.
What about training on fuel? Has that gone out the window?
No, I'm certainly trying to still keep in touch with Phil. So I've thought to myself, okay, I'm going to try and just run this section at X pace. And then the GPS is allowing me to just know exactly what I'm doing at the time, and I can then just adjust it accordingly. But I think going by feel is really important, especially on race day. If you wear a GPS, you may lose signal, especially around the CBD area through Sydney with all the buildings. So I pretty much go on breathing. So I can tell based on my breathing pretty much the effort I'm going at.
And what about on race day? Were you using the GPS?
I ummed and ahed and tossed it up, and I've decided no, I'm just going to go with my split stopwatch. Again, because if the GPS cuts out, gone. And also, I think I find I might just get too caught up in looking at it too often. It may not be quite right. You just don't want to rely on it. So I'm just going to hit the split timer, assuming there's a marker every K. And look, there's so many people around with GPS, I can just ask someone, what the pace is at an instant as well. And you've got your paces too to follow, which I'm not sure at this stage which one I'll follow. If I do follow one, I'm just going to play it by ear on the morning.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific race plan, Rich?
I do. I've looked at the course and I've split it up into sections, and there's the section from the start out to Centennial Park. Then there's the section around Centennial Park. You sort of basically do a couple of loops and go through the mill here and there. And when we come out of Centennial, that's about halfway. Then the next block up to around 32K, which is the IMAX Theatre there in Piedmont, and then the next block from 32 to finish. So they're my four main blocks that I'll just sort of tick off. And well, I particularly want to be still holding it together at that sort of 32K mark where the IMAX is, and be able to finish in a good state and be able to run strongly, in inverted commas, over that last 5 to 10.
And of course, the question that everybody needs an answer to: what time have you got to do that old chestnut?
Yeah, I wish I had a dollar for everyone who asked me what time I'm aiming for. Generally, that's about the first question they ask. Look, my main aim is to pace it correctly, because in London I completely fell apart around the second half in about almost 20 minutes or 30, almost 30 minutes slower than the first half. So as I said before, still holding it together around that 32K mark, and being able to feel like I'm still strong and holding it together. And just go by feel, and I've just got to make sure I don't let the time get caught up in the time, and really tune into my body and that breathing, and also the feeling in the legs, because I know when you're overdoing it, it's where the legs will fall apart in the legs. So been tuning to those two parts of my body.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of running years behind you, a lot of racing experience. But just before we go, have you got any tips for anyone who hasn't run a marathon before, or maybe it's their second or third marathon? I don't have a lot of racing experience, so you can tune into your body fairly well. Have you got a tip for anyone who may not have that race experience behind them as to how to prevent themselves from blowing up, as you did in London?
Well, definitely the nutrition. So definitely getting the gels and your sports drink sorted. Make sure you get in enough. And treat that first 30, even up to 35K, as pretty comfortable. Like it has to feel reasonably comfortable. And when you get into that 30K area, yes, it's going to start to feel uncomfortable for sure. I think no matter how slow you go, that you really, you have to just pull back a little bit and really respect the distance, because it is a real beast. So just really tuning into your body and it's not just double a half marathon. I think it's more than just a double half marathon.
That sounds like a very good note to finish on. Thanks very much, Rich, and good luck.
Thank you.